Joining us now, you listen to her on ESPN Radio. Also with Izzy in Spain from, 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. weekdays. Also a columnist for ESPN. It's Sarah Spain. What's going on, Sarah?
What's happening?
But first of all, you're a diehard Cub fan. So, you know what? You must be excited. You're feeling it this year. This is your year, isn't it, Sarah, or what?
Well, I wish my enthusiasm matched yours in introducing me.
I have to deal with this every day, Sarah.
Right. It's not that I'm not enthusiastic. Somebody put it to me this way, and it was absolutely right. It's very weird to dread something that you've so been looking forward to. That's kind of what it feels like, and I only say that in that I'm a really good person at appreciating the moment. So throughout the whole regular season, I've tried to be grateful that they weren't already mathematically eliminated by June. Be grateful that they were above 500. You know, be grateful that they were in first place. Be grateful that Arrieta had another no-hitter. Be grateful that, you know, Hendricks came out of nowhere. Now they've clinched. Now they've got a home field advantage, right? And all of these things can be celebrated and appreciated without any sort of gut, you know, feeling of nerves or anything. You're just happy that things are going so well. But now I can't keep pushing off the end goal, right? I can't just keep appreciating the moment because now it's a disappointment if they don't win it. So it is this weird confluence of feelings where you're like, I'm really excited for this. They are the best team in baseball. And then also, okay, I've read a lot of stats where the best team in baseball didn't win. So now I'm terrified.
Yeah, and I mean, Sarah, this is, you know, coming from me, the diehard Red Sox lifer who just spent his first 40 years just getting my heart ripped out year after year in imaginative ways. But do you feel like when you see those signs, this is our year, this is finally our year, do you just kind of, in the back of your mind, just kind of cringe a little bit at the excitement?
You know what? I don't. And here's why. Because I'm a natural optimist, and I feel like if you spend a century plus and every time things are good, even then you can't appreciate them and you're still waiting for the other shoe to drop and you're still cynical, then you're wasting years, right? I mean, if every single year that the Cubs have been good, whether it was, you know, 69 or 03 or 08 or any, you know, any of those 80s teams, like if you had never been enthusiastic and believed, first of all, what kind of energy are you giving the team when you step into the ballpark if you're dreading every second and every play is a sure sign that things are going downhill, but also like how unfulfilling is your fandom, right? And people will probably think being a Cubs fan is unfulfilling in general, and I don't blame them for thinking that. But if you are going to have this sort of spiritual experience with a team, and I mean that in that much like God, we've never seen what it actually is like when your faith is paid off. But you feel like there's a deeper connection to your team because there is a loyalty without any reward. So you have to be just idiotically enthusiastic and idiotically optimistic. So I am 100% down for how much the city believes that this is the year. Because this team is a whole bunch of guys that weren't even alive for all the bad stuff.
I love it. Sarah Spain joining us on the huddle with Rich and Artie right here at 101.3 ESPN. But Sarah, you're too young. This if they win the World Series, it's not for you. It's for that guy that's like 92 years old that's going to be crying because he never saw this in his lifetime. You know what I mean?
Right. You say that, but it could be for me too because what if they don't win again for another century? This would be my only shot.
That's true.
No, but it's funny because I interviewed a 10-year-old kid, and he said in all sincerity, you know, I've waited long enough. And I was like, oh, my God, you're 10. But on the same time, you know, honestly, there is a very bittersweet element to this because, yes, there are the 90, 100-year-old people that if they get to see it, it'll be great for them. But then everybody's got a father, a grandparent, a wife, a brother or sister that didn't make it long enough. And the first thing, you know, when the Cubs win it all, after my initial moments of joy, I admit my first thing I'm going to think of is Ernie Banks and Ron Santo. Yeah. And there's just everybody's got too many of those people. So I do think it's a very confusing and will be a very sort of complicated celebration, even in a way that maybe the Red Sox weren't. And I do know that, you know, a lot of Red Sox fans were bringing the front pages of the newspaper and laying them open on people's graves so they could read the headlines. And, you know, you guys got it. 87 years is a long time. It's not quite 108, so But you guys get it.
Trust me, Sarah, I get it because I had a dad who passed 3 months before the 04 championship. And it just, but you know what? Always had this over the rest of the family, and he used to gloat endlessly about it. He was around for the 1918 championship. He was 7 months old. 7 months old when they won it, and he held this over us his entire life.
I love it.
I remember. I heard stories of his celebration. Yeah.
What's been the difference this year for the
Cubs? 7 month-old celebration.
Is it more Theo, or is it more Joe Maddon, or sort of a mishmash of everything?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just the natural progression of what we saw beginning even 2 years ago and then into last year. It's, of course, Joe Maddon. You need a kind of mad scientist to mess with the minds of the guys and make sure that they feel fresh and that they don't get too high or too low. Of course, Theo Epstein. And there's been some really great stories. Wright Thompson's story. There's another one I want to say in New York Times. There's another one on ESPN.com right now about it. Just the machinations of behind the scenes that Theo Epstein made. And I mean, it's interesting. There have been things that have occurred in Boston since Theo left, but that Red Sox team that's doing so well is also very much a mark of his work as well. I think he's just a genius. When he came in, those of us that were used to the same old said, we are willing to stink because we believe that what he's doing, all these moves he's making are going to pay off. And they have. And the people who gave up a year or two in and started pounding their feet and stomping their feet about how nothing had changed and, you know, how can we lose so many games? They're really eating their words now about not believing in the process.
Sarah Spain, ESPN radio host, joining us on the TikTok Jewelers guest line right here on the Huddle with Rich and Arnie on 101.3 ESPN. So I don't know, am I going to put Sarah in a bad mood if I just say Bears and Cutler? Will I put you in a bad mood? It's kind of painful. I'm not a Bears fan, but it's painful because those are good fans out there and they're just so horrible right now.
Right. Yeah, I'll say this much. Somehow Chicago teams have done a pretty good job over the last 7 or 8 years to sort of take their turns. So when both of our baseball teams stunk, the Blackhawks were playing all the way through June and winning, you know, 3 cups in 6 years. And then, you know, now that the Bears are terrible, hopefully the Cubs will take a nice deep run and keep us interested for half their season. They've really been on and off taking turns. You know what? The thing that stinks so much about the Bears is that I don't really believe it's going to get any better. I thought John Fox was going to come in, and at least I would believe in having a new GM and Ryan Pace and having John Fox. But I don't know if I believe that, and I feel like this team probably won't go anywhere until it's under new management. I think the McCaskies and even I think Ryan Pace so far in his limited time, I'm not seeing the genius at work yet. And the fact that I want to say the Packers, when Brett Favre was their starting quarterback, still drafted a quarterback every year.
Yeah.
And the Bears, the last time a Bears quarterback that was drafted actually saw a snap in regular season action was Kyle Orton in, I think, 2005. They don't draft him, right? And the thing is, fine, if you think Cutler's your guy, you don't know if he's going to break an arm. And Cutler has never been good enough to say, this is our guy, we need to count and use our draft picks and our investments in other places. You need to have a backup. You need to be grooming someone. And they've got this seventh rounder in David Fales, who's been around for a couple seasons, and that's the longest. And then they go out and they get, you know, Jimmy Clausen and Brian Hoyer and Josh McCown. They don't get guys that are going to develop into the next level, the next, you know, starter. It's just such a blind spot that I don't see how the team can ever succeed until they change that mentality.
I can hear the aggravation building in your voice just by talking about the Bears. So let me get back to the Cubs real quick, and I bet this is a story in the Windy City. Does Steve Bartman come out of hiding if they win at all?
It's funny. Someone just asked me that, and I say almost assuredly no, and here's why. Because since the beginning of that whole debacle, he's sort of made the decision that no matter who is asking, no matter how much money they're offering, he's not talking. He doesn't want it to be about him. It really wasn't his fault. There were 8 other people reaching for the ball. Moises Alou wouldn't have caught it anyway. Alex Gonzalez bungled the double play ball that wouldn't have meant that it mattered that Bartman went for the ball in the first place. It was just a terrible mix of media and people feeling like curses are a real thing and Moises Alou's tantrum that all kind of came together for that guy to have just such a bad and unnecessary life-ruining experience, and I think he is determined to be forever out of the spotlight. And if they win and he comes back, the statement is still the same, which is to say, oh, we forgive you now. For what? Yeah. He didn't do anything. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
He doesn't need to be forgiven. Just leave the guy alone.
Sarah, I was living in Northbrook when the time that happened, so it was absolutely crazy there, that's for sure.
Oh, God, yeah.
It's just ridiculous. I have blamed Moises Alou for that whole thing for so long. But, hey, let me finish up here with a more serious note. You're obviously a very outspoken person about domestic violence. Has it been hard for you to come to grips with the fact that the Cubs could win a World Series with Aroldis Chapman and being a key piece?
Yes, absolutely. And in part because I just love this team so much, and the Cubs media and fan relations have done such a good job of being sure we really get to see the personalities of a lot of these guys, and just in being around the clubhouse every once in a while and in interacting with them. They're good dudes. They're so easy to root for. And the idea of, you know, David Ross riding the horse off into the sunset after a win, and of the Chris Bryant and Anthony Rizzo and Addison Russell, these young guys being the ones that get to be the curse breakers. It's just amazing. It's exactly the team that I would want. Even John Lackey, who, you know, for years was not my favorite, yeah, is still bought into the Cubs magic. And he's you know, that guy who you can root for. And, you know, I just picture Chapman getting the final out and clinching, and the whole team runs up and hugging him on the mound, and his face is on the cover of SI and ESPN, the magazine, and everything, and he's always affiliated with it. And it does. It makes me sad. And that's not to say that he can't ever be forgiven as a person, but to me, if something like that occurs in your life, even if the only thing that happened was firing bullets into a garage, including one that went through an open window and could have killed anyone that was in the vicinity while the mother of your children is crying in the bushes, even if that's it, even if he didn't lay a hand on her and it was just shooting the guns off, punching a window, etc.
Yep, that's Sarah Spade.
Still something that needs to be accounted for.
Absolutely,
admit to it.